There's some great questions here, and we're into week three now on this, and it's been really interesting to see how different groups of questions, topics, are connecting one to the next. And so if you missed the last couple of weeks, I really encourage you to go back and watch those. Not that I'm giving a great answer to anything. I'm actually just trying to respond as I best understand things now for this. And that all leads up to, the last couple of weeks lead up to kind of our topic today. Our topic today has to do with faith, right? So for those of us that are believing in Jesus, like Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, we're trying to faithfully live out what that relationship looks like, the question has to do with that. And wanting to expand our understanding of what faith even means. Because let's be honest, it can be really hard to live out of faith, especially one that is grounded in a text that's, well, quite ancient, right? And it's based on things that are eyewitness accounts of people that lived a long time ago, and we're trusting those eyewitness accounts to be true as we faithfully follow those things, and as we come to understand the things of the Bible, it can be really difficult. And we experience things in life that shake that faith, right? That shake our trust in God. Like, we just look at your landscape. You experience things that are like, I don't know how this makes any sense. Where is God in this? I know God is powerful to do some things. Why isn't God doing these things, right? Why don't I see more of God's kingdom at play here? What, when I live into trying to be like Jesus, how come I get a lot of pushback in a negative way, right? Lots of things. We're going to go into some of that. But the question is really based off of a specific text from the Bible. It's coming from this letter that is called Hebrews. And there's someone who has wrote this to a group of people. And understanding the group of people that it's written to will help us to understand a little bit more that's behind this. So let me just give you a little introduction to Hebrews. And I haven't really read much of Hebrews until this question came up. I'm just going to be honest with you. And then once I started diving into it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I could get lost in this for years. It's amazing. I'm like, why haven't I spent more time in this? So even though I've now spent more time into it, I don't have everything figured out. But I encourage you to read this thing. It's pretty intense. But the group of people that it's written to are Jewish Christians. Okay, just sit with that for a second, right? They're Jewish Christians. They're people that grew up understanding what we call the Old Testament. It was the Testament. It's what they had, right? Hearing the scriptures and reading them and meditating on them and letting them change in their life and all that, it was the basis of their faith. And they had all of that, and then they saw that this person, Jesus of Nazareth, has come and he's fulfilled something about that whole Old Testament, a promise that God had given to the Jewish people that then was also then to expand out to all nations, right? And so here are these Jewish people that have this understanding of something God is promising, and they see it fulfilled in Jesus, and they put their trust into that, but yet they live in an environment where there are some just Jewish people that have rejected that God has become with us through Jesus, right? They're rejecting that God's anointed one, his Messiah, would offer his life and has offered his life in Jesus and has been raised again. They've rejected that. And so they live in this environment where they have family members and friends and communities that are rejecting what their beliefs are, right? What they're put their faith in. For me, that gives me a whole new context for living out this faith in Jesus and why they might struggle with it, okay? So they're struggling in this environment there, maybe losing their jobs, maybe losing community connections, you know, because of their own beliefs about who Jesus is. And so the writer of Hebrews is going to give them some direction on this. They're going to help define things. And the best thing that I think we can do is to read the scripture that they is going to be referred to in the question so we have an understanding. But understand this. There's 13 chapters. Hebrews is broken up into 13 little chapters. This is the beginning of chapter 11. Therefore, there are other chapters that have led up to this, right? That we're not even looking at. I mean, just imagine reading a news story like two-thirds of the way through and just starting there. Or taking a book, a novel, and just like starting two-thirds of the way through or something and trying to take one line from it and go like, oh, is this what it means? It's difficult. It's good. It's been used in good ways. But we just need to understand there's way more there. So my encouragement is, read Hebrews. It's crazy amazing, right? So read it, and then you'll get to this place. So here's the scripture, and I'm using the New International Version, because I'm pretty sure that's where it's coming from. So we'll read it, and then we'll read the question, and then we're going to go and unpack it a little bit. Okay, so here's the Hebrews 11:1. It says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." Faith, right? What's faith? Okay, here's what faith is. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. There's something out there that we're hoping for. What is that thing that we're hoping for? Okay? And there's confidence in that. Okay? So that's what faith is about. But it's also this assurance. Right? There's something that you're really sure about, even if you can't see it. Right? Oftentimes when the Bible is talking about things that are like invisible or unseen, it's talking about that spiritual realm of things. There's something that we're not seeing. And Hebrews is going to unpack this a little bit more. In fact, in the following rest of Hebrews 11, it's going to give a bunch of general examples of people from their Old Testament or their Testament about people that have just this general sense of trusting God as God has given them promises and spoken to them, and then they trust God in that. But it also talks about how they've not seen that come to fruition. Right? It's unseen, the fulfillment of it. Right? So there's that thing going on there. All right, so there's our verse, and we're going to read the question now, and then we're going to put this back into context a little bit, okay? So here's the question. In Hebrews 11, is Hebrews 11 a comprehensive definition of faith? Sometimes I know I am a Christian, but don't feel very confident in the things of God that I hope for. So I guess my question is, does doubt nullify faith? I love this question. Right? I love the vulnerability of it. I love that it actually talks to me. Like this, I didn't know that this was my question, but this is my question. Right? As a person following Jesus, and I look at my life and the things that I hope for that Jesus would do in me and in my world around me and my life, and then it's not happening. And I scratch my head and I'm like, oh, maybe my faith isn't real strong. Maybe there's something going on. I don't know if God is really at work here. Should I continue to put my faith in this Jesus person? What's going on? Like, do you see that? Like, it just kind of opens up some things to me that I didn't even realize I question. Does doubt nullify faith? Is the fact that you have doubts about God's power or even your own power to faithfully follow Jesus, does that nullify that you have any trust or confidence or assurance in these things that you're hoping for? It's a great question, right? And here's my answer. It's a great question, right? It is. It's a great question. I feel like as a follower of Jesus, this is my question as I walk through this life, and I hope for things, right? I hope that God's kingdom will come to its fullness in my lifetime, right? I hope that people that are struggling and are victims will get the freedom and the healing that they need, right? I hope for my own kids, that they will come and to take this faith as their own and live it out, no matter how crazy the world gets. The question, though, for me, is that what they were hoping for? Is that the hope that they were looking towards, the thing that was unseen? What is it that all of these people that Hebrews 11 is going to go on and give an example about, what were they hoping for? What is that thing that's off in the distance that they put their trust and their confidence in God that would come to fulfillment? That's kind of where I went with this, right? So let's just back up from Hebrews 11 just a little bit to put it back in its context, because I think that will help. Because remember, there's been stuff written already up to this place so that it can give us something. And so I'm going to use the New Living Translation. I'm using the Church Bible here. You can certainly do that. You can use the church app if you want to. We're going to put it up here on the screen. You can follow along that way, just to try to get a little bit more understanding, because I really want us to dive into this question about our faith. Is Hebrews 11:1 a comprehensive definition? Is that the whole thing? And does doubt, when I doubt, does that nullify my faith? Right? So we're going to dive into that. We're going to actually back up to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, because it is going to lead right into it. And then we're going to read right through Hebrews 11:1, okay? And just see how it kind of fills out a little bit more about the definition of Hebrews 11:1, okay? And it's going to sound a little bit different than the one we started with, which I love. I love having different translations because it challenges us to go like, why'd they do it that way? All right, Hebrews 10, verse 35. So, which of course, so means I've already written something, and so now something else, right? All right, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. And then there's a little quote here from their scriptures, okay? For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. And then the writer of Hebrews comes back in and he says this. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Expands it a little bit, right? There's something more going on here than just the thing that we hope for. What is the thing that they're hoping for? The coming one will come. Right? The coming one will come. There's this whole environment in which they're sitting there waiting for a fulfillment that God has promised to these people. And it's all about this one that God is going to send to come and be with them, and that they will come and not delay. I love that. You know why I love that? Because it feels like it's being delayed, right? Isn't that where we doubt things? Isn't that where we have this struggle and going on where we're like, man, I'm following, I'm trying to be faithful, I'm trusting, and yet things are just not happening? Well, what if I live my whole life and I don't see God fulfilling his promise? That's a tough place to live. That's the way that these people in Hebrews that are examples, the general, just general faith, are examples that this writer of Hebrews is going to go on to give. And as I was thinking about this and trying to read some other sources that can kind of help me to understand this, because it's outside of my realm of understanding, and there was an example that they gave that helped me to kind of put this idea about faith. What is faith really about, right? How do I see it? when I have this time of struggle of things, when I'm not seeing God actively working? How can I better understand this? And here's a little quote just about physical eyesight and then faith, okay? Faith sight. I don't know if that's a word, but we're going to make it up. So here's what it says. Physical eyesight provides conviction about visible things, right? Physical eyesight provides conviction about physical things. I am convicted that you are all sitting right there, right? Because I can see you, right? Do you see how that works? All right, what about faith? So faith says this. Faith provides conviction about invisible things. And what are invisible things that the Bible talks about? That whole spiritual realm of things that's going on that we just don't even see it, right? Things are happening, but we don't physically see them happening. But that our faith, this conviction now that we have that they're happening, even if we don't physically see it. And that's exactly what happens with these people that they give examples about, of people of faith. They didn't see everything that was happening. It was still something out there on the horizon, right? It isn't come to fruition. In fact, here's how I kind of put faith in more of a general definition. Faith is the evidence of a future hope. Faith is the evidence of a future hope. There's something out there that we hope for. And how do I provide that evidence that there's something out there that I hope for? I have faith. I trust. It's something that I can't completely see, but I have faith that it will be there, that it'll come to fruition. Again, what is it that we're hoping for, though, right? Are we just hoping that good things will start happening? Are we hoping that my life will be better because I follow Jesus? Are we hoping to see how God heals people? What are we hoping for? Are we hoping our kids will be good? What is the hope of the Old Testament people, the Jewish people? And how does that connect with the hope of the Jewish Christians in Hebrews? And how does that connect with the hope that we have here today as followers of Jesus, for those of us that are following Jesus? Right? That's what it's trying to get at. Because the people that they give a list about in Hebrews 11, which I think you should totally read, right? There's all kinds of people in there. Abraham and Sarah, they were given a promise about how God's going to give them children, descendants, and they were going to bless the whole world through them, right? Just the physical piece of having a child took decades. Like, that's a long time to wait. Am I ever going to see it? Am I ever going to have it happen? Why isn't it happening fast enough? Makes me doubt. Makes me struggle. And sometimes they blew it, didn't they? Right? There's a whole list of people. Noah. We talked about Noah last week. Noah and the flood. If you missed that one, please go back and watch that one. I had a lot of fun with that one. That's pretty fun. But we talked about Noah is one of those examples about faith. And here's one that really I had to scratch my head. Samson. Samson's an example. Samson's the worst. How is he an example? Right? He is the worst. Out of all the judges, like, it just winds down from the book of Judges. It starts out okay, and it gets worse and worse and worse. He's the last judge. Before then, there's no judges after him. He's horrible. Yet, somehow, he's an example of faith. I got to do more work on that. I'll be honest with you. I assume that the writer of Hebrews has a better understanding of it than I do, okay? So I need to do some work on that. But it's just scratching my head. These are people that messed up along the way. We have reason to doubt their faith because of the way that they did things. How about just sitting in their shoes? How did they get to that place? Because maybe they doubted as well. Hebrews 11:13 gives, right in the middle of the lists, gives us a little thing about it. It says this, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Where's their eyesight, their faith sight, those invisible things? Where do I really live? in that spiritual stuff that's going on, even though physically I'm here in this place that is not my home. I can see it's not my home, right? Because it's really causing me to doubt some things about myself and God's work in me and God's work in this world. And man, it's really hard. Right in the middle, they slide that in, and then they give a list of some more people. Go read it. It's awesome. It's really amazing, right? But what are they hoping for? What is that thing that they saw in the distance that they welcomed, that they lived their whole life but didn't see it come to fruition? They never got to experience the fullness of it. What is that thing? Well, let's walk back through this Hebrews 10:35 and following, and then we're going to connect it with how the letter of Hebrews closes out with this little like prayer and kind of puts things together. And we're going to draw out of it that hope that they were hoping for, because that's the hope of the Jewish people that are examples of faith. It's the hope of the Jewish Christians that this letter of Hebrews is written to. And I'll challenge all of us that it's the hope that we have for followers of Jesus. Okay? Let's take a look one more time through this. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and following. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. You have a confidence trust in the Lord, right? Don't throw it away. Throwing it away, is that doubt? That's not doubt. That's throwing it away. Maybe I've got some doubt and I've decided, nope, I'm not going to trust anymore. That's different than doubt, is it not? Yeah? Okay. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now. Amen? Anyone? It's almost one of those things where, like, you know you need to be patient, but when you're impatient, nobody better tell you to be patient, right? You know, you feel me, right? You understand that, right? This is the last thing you need to hear right there. And so they're needing this patient endurance in a time when, like, I don't want to hear I need patient endurance. I need stuff to happen, right? Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. What did he promise? For just in a little while. Little while is a bit subjective, because a little while to God is a long while to me, right? Right? In a little while, the coming one, the one that they were waiting for, the coming one will come and not delay. Really? Let's go. Come on. I need you now. I need you here, right? Will not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith, this confident trust in the Lord, right? This evidence of a future hope. That's how they are going to live. Even if they doubt, huh? They're not going to turn away. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away, different than doubt, okay? But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. I understand that that's different than the version there. It's good. It's all right. And then verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Listen how it ends it. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he, the God of peace, equip you with all you need for doing his will. Patience, endurance is what you need to do his will, yeah? He's going to equip you with patient endurance to do his will. Do you see the connection? Okay. May he, the God of peace, produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him. Who's producing this? And through whose power? You're not producing this, and it's not by your power. Right? That, I think, is important. Because sometimes that's where we struggle, isn't it? That's where we doubt. We doubt that we are even have enough power to be faithful. We doubt our own ability that something good is going to be happy in us. It has nothing to do with that. It's the God of peace that is producing in this in you through the power of Jesus Christ. Huh? Through the power of Jesus Christ, everything that is good and pleasing to him, all glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Is Hebrews 11:1 a comprehensive definition of faith? No. It's like the beginning. It's the beginning for us to go like, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do I understand this? How do some of these examples of faith that are given help us to round out our own faith? Because they certainly seem to blow it, right? When things didn't happen as quickly as they thought, yes, it's off there in the distance, but it feels like it's delayed. It feels like it's a long way off. It's not quickly coming. It's not happening the way I want it to. I'm going to take matters into my own hands and do things my own way to make the best life for myself. What is the thing that they had their hope in, that these Jewish Christians had their hope in, that we ourselves have our hope in? It's that end piece, right? That coming one has come. And now we know that Jesus has come. God is with us and now has gone from us and is going to be coming again, right? The God of peace, who did what? Raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. There's something to hope in just for ourselves, that we have this new life because Jesus was given life. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Who are the sheep? We're the sheep. Right? He's producing things in us, not by our own power. Right? That's where we can put our hope in. There's going to be a time when it all is completed. What is it that we need? Patience, endurance. That's living out our faith with all of our doubts. Does doubt nullify faith? Anybody want to answer that? Does doubt nullify faith? I'm pretty confident that that's a big no. In fact, I think doubt is a necessity. I think doubt is this gift that we get to start to question, to help solidify our faith. It brings us back to what our hope is really in. Not just God fixing things in our life, not just making the world a better place for me or for my kids, that God just answers everything that I want to have done, but that I get to be a part of God's will, that I get to look forward to the day when all of it comes into completion, when Jesus returns again, and I may never see it, and yet I hope in it, and I'm confident in it, and I'm going to live life knowing that that's going to happen, even if I never witness it, see it physically with my own eyes. You need to doubt. Doubt's a good thing to help to solidify the thing that we have our hope in. Yeah? So I invite you into that. I really do. I invite you into this time where we can put our hope where it needs to be, right, because of our doubts. And the way that I've kind of landed on this for myself, which was helpful for me, and I offer it to you, many of you got a little card when you came in. It's got a little prayer on it, and what I've done is I've taken Hebrews 10:35 and following and Hebrews 13, and I've put them together, and I've personalized it. So no one, like, crucify me because I've changed Scripture and adapted it. This is just a prayer. How do you pray Scripture? Well, this is how I'm doing it, and I just put these together. And I'm just inviting you to be a part of that prayer because life sucks. Right? That when we look out at our world and our own life and things come at us, it causes us to doubt. It causes us to question the things of God. And this is just a way to recenter our faith when we doubt. And we need to doubt so that we can be recentered. We can solidify the thing that we're hoping for. And this is what we're hoping for. Okay? So here is the prayer. I'm going to pray it. You can read it with you. You can take it home. I put it in the description of the video. You can print it off. If you use the church app, it's right in there. Save it for yourself, however you want to do that. And I just invite you to partake in that. And if you want to do this, please do it. I'm just inviting you to that. So here, let's do this. Let's stand for those who want to stand or can stand to pray this together. I'll pray it, and you just kind of pray it silently or read it or however you want to do it, okay? So here's the prayer. Let us pray. I do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. I remember the great reward it brings me. Patient endurance is what I need now, so I will continue to do God's will. Then I will receive all that he has promised. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead my Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and made an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip me with all I need for doing his will. May he produce in me, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever.